Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Cardistry Talk. Today, I'm joined by a couple of the guys from Cardistry Experience, previously Cardistry Event Hamburg, and that'd be Nick and Jonas. Matisse, unfortunately, wasn't able to make it, but super happy to have Nick and Jonas here to talk about kind of how the event came to be and kind of how things are shaping up. So Nick and Jonas, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you, Caleb. It's great to be here.
Yeah, super happy to have you guys on and to kind of have a little bit more of a group atmosphere with multiple people. And then I usually have a lot of one-on-ones. But just opening up, kind of how did the original event kind of start and how did Cardistry Hamburg event kind of become a thing?
Yeah, that's, in my opinion, quite a funny story because I moved to Hamburg for like 7 months ago.
Seven, eight months ago.
And I just messaged Matisse. If we could organize a little jam, because I want to meet some Carlos in Hamburg and get to know some people here. At the jam, we walked around and one of the guys asked, "Hey, I should call Nick. I haven't met this guy in a long time." So we called him.
And so, Nick, you didn't know at all?
I've never met Matisse. I only knew Matisse from Instagram. And I met Matisse this day the first time at the jam in person. And another guy called Nick, and he was like, "Oh, yeah, I just came back from Jakobsweg 2 days ago." So,
Camino de Santiago in Spain. Yeah, I was like gone for 2 months to Spain. And then he called me up, and I just came and I saw that guy, and he was like looking like it, like a skater dude. I was like, who's that guy? You know, and then we came to talk a little bit. He told me about his background as a photographer, and we kind of connected. And
yeah, and that's the point where we like a little bit discussing. That's like a little discussion when we decided when this event started happening. In my opinion, it was like the first day we met. In Nick's opinion, it's like the second day, the next day after the jam. But we were like at my place with Matisse together.
On this sofa, right here,
we're sitting right now. And we were watching some old jam videos, some Cardistry videos, some Kendama videos, and some skate videos. And we were realizing that the scenes are like kind of comparable, but this event factor wasn't there at all in the Cardistry scene, except for CardistryCon and like UK CardCon, but nothing in Germany and nothing in even Europe. Right. So we were like dreaming what could be if we would do like, we were like just like dreaming about it. And like at one point we came to this point where we're like, okay, let's make a date. And then we said, looked up when we have time, and then we made a date, and we were like, are we really doing this right now? We're like looking at each other, yes, right, looks like it,
right.
And that's where it's like all started. Like at the same day we met, we decided to organize the event together.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's so interesting actually, because I just to add to that, because we obviously I think Caleb, you probably know that feeling, right, where you are. I mean, we all as cardists, I think we all have like that, everybody has that little notepad with all the hand-drawn deck designs, right, and everybody has these ideas. Like it happens pretty similarly to many people, I feel like, naturally to try to dream up some cool idea for something. And As I had been to, my first experience with an event was CardistryCon 2016, actually. It's the first one I've ever been to in Berlin, and the only one. And it was an amazing experience for me. And I always, like, doing an event, organizing a jam here and there, you know, was always a thing. But talks about doing an event were happening from time to time, but it was so odd because I had known Matisse for a while, but Jonas, we had only just met on that day, and we were sitting here and just chit-chatting about it, and then we just came up with this date of October 9th, where we all were like, all right, we have time then, let's just set it, let's just put it in our calendars. And like fast forward 3 months, it actually happened on that exact day. So we didn't really expect that at all to happen. We were just trying to, you know, minimize the effort. So for me, it was like, okay, I don't want to put too much effort into this and then have to cancel everything in like 6 months and say it doesn't work out. So, but rather have a deadline and say either we make it until then, or we come clean with ourselves and say it's not going to happen. You know. So
yeah. And the first point where I got like goosebumps a little bit was like the date, the time where we like posted the announcement with the date, because then we had a date and there was like no way back, no way out of it with without like people are getting sad probably because it won't happen. So we were like, okay, when we post this, when we make this post, it's going down.
We didn't even have a location.
We didn't even have a location at that point.
So sketchy everything.
Yeah. I think, I mean, 3 months, that's a kind of short time, even for just a single day event. So, I mean, it's impressive that you guys were able to pull it off. I know, you know, there's not a ton of Cardistry events outside of CardistryCon. I know we had CardistryCon New Mexico kind of happen recently. Mm-hmm. And then it's really kind of what you guys have got going on as well. And it's exciting to see just like a group of friends pretty much putting together something really cool for the community. And it just shows that it can be done potentially anywhere.
Right. Right.
But you have to just do it. It's like,
exactly. Yeah, that's it.
That's
yeah.
the point where we like, why did nobody did it before?
Right.
We couldn't answer it. So we decided let's do it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of how the podcast came around too. I know during COVID, I really wanted to listen to Cardistry podcasts, and they just, at least in English, they didn't really exist. So that's kind of like, okay, I guess I have to make my own now. So you guys kind of saw that gap in the community and filled it, which is really cool. How did the first event kind of, how did everything go? How'd the event go? What did you guys learn from that first event to make this future upcoming one hopefully a little better?
Well, that's
we learned a lot.
Obviously.
Nobody of us had like plans how to even start organizing an event. Nobody had like learned anything about it or did it even. We're like all newcomers and
newbies. Nobody had any experience. I think Matt is actually, he had a bit of experience because he used to do, he had these cool projects in school. For example, one time he did a thing where he and two of his friends, they sold chocolates, right? So there was this chocolate factory and they produced chocolates, gave them to them at like production price, and then they sold it and the proceeds were donated for a charity, for a climate charity. So he was like the cool kid, you know, the organized kid who had done like some projects already. And I had a little bit of that going on with a small clothing brand I run. But nothing in the eventscape. It was something I was always interested in outside of that because I had some background in like poetry slams and stuff like that. But I had never dealt with the ins and outs of like selling tickets, right? Or booking a location, or even in the COVID thing, right? Getting all the COVID regulations straight. So in the beginning, when we were sitting here on that day where we set the date, we kind of tried to divide everything up into sections. So Jonas, for example, he's a photographer, right? He's a professional photographer. So it was obvious that he would be taking photos during the event, making the video, and that he would take care of a lot of the Instagram content. And Mattis was taking care, for example, of the Instagram account and everything. And we like set everything out. And my idea was we had a little booklet, the A5 booklet. He has it right here.
I would like you.
Which he designed in the end. And that was a thing I was super passionate about in the beginning. I said, I want to definitely do the booklet. In the end, it turned out I didn't do anything at it, and he did everything at the booklet, right? So we had this idea, and it would turn out entirely different because we didn't factor in all these difficulties with finances, right? Setting a ticket price. The ticket price is the most ridiculous thing. We were just like having a thought of, okay, how much should the tickets be, I guess? And we were like, yeah, maybe 20. I was
Matt and I were like, okay, we have to get at least 15 to 20 bucks for that because... Nick was the guy who was like, oh, that's way too expensive. We have to get lower, 10 or 5 euros. We didn't even calculate it all.
Because I thought nobody knows us, right? It could be just some guys trying to scam a bunch of people out of like a few euros over PayPal. So I thought, because only Mattis was the only person like remotely, I think he has like 1.5K followers or something. So he was like kind of known, you know, but we didn't have a name at all. So we were trying to put it as low as possible, but it was just an emotional choice. We didn't ever, it's kind of embarrassing actually, but I didn't ever calculate it in that place. So we ended up on 15 euros. I wanted to put it even lower than that. Set a cap at 50 euros. And if you calculate that up, that ends, that turns out to be a maximum intake of 600 euros. So that was absolutely ridiculous to find a location.
And organizing an event, an entire event for like 600 bucks.
Exactly. But even like that much of a beautiful location as we ended up getting, it's just perfect. Like it's called Wartenau 16. It's just around the corner and it's a beautiful place. They were a pleasure to work with for real. So that is, I think probably once everything of that is set up, right. It's great fun to come up with ideas for mini games and set everything up and like kind of fill it with life, you know, but, the ins and outs of the back end really like hardcore event organization, event management, kind of finances, who gets a cut if someone pays over PayPal, how much does PayPal get, all these things is stuff that we didn't bother thinking about at all. And obviously we now have learned a lot from that. We are very, very fortunate to have been able to even pull the first one off because it was very, very tight. But I think that's to put it into perspective, actually we only sold the tickets. I have to try to not get this wrong, but we only sold the tickets about, I think, 3 weeks, about 21 days before October 9th, where the event was happening. Yeah. And that is because until that day where we made that post, where we put the tickets online, we didn't have a confirmed location. So there was like Instagram and like, let's say advertisement, right? To the extent that we could do advertisement was running, and we had told everybody, yeah, we're going to make an event, it's going to be great. And we were really excited to do it, of course, but there was this time frame of about 4 weeks where I just couldn't reach the guys from Wartenau 16 from the location. They just didn't get a response. We didn't know if we had a yes or a no. If it was a no, we hadn't time to get another location. So we're really like, okay, maybe that's it, right? I was like, okay, guys, it's not going to happen. And then I got a call from Robert, and he said, it's a go. And we were like, okay, do the post, put everything online, sell the tickets. And there were a lot of spots where everything could have easily gone off the rails. Yeah. And in the end, it just turned out pretty cool. Yeah. And we had some of the greatest.
And one thing which was still mind-blowing for me is like that we all sold out in like 4 hours.
That's kind of scuffed. Because we had a limit of 50. That was one of the COVID regulations for that space, maximum of 50 people in there. So we had to think about like factoring us three in and the people that we needed for like staff. We had a little bar where we sold drinks and we had a person for that. So we kept a few tickets back, and then we had the first sold out, and then we could restock a few. But in any case, we were, for the amount of exposure that we had, I was also pretty impressed with the amount of people who are just willing to even travel far distances to attend that event. So, right.
And then, like you said, kind of bringing the event kind of to life, giving it life. Obviously, you guys had multiple events planned. You had Como Rebbe there. Kind of talk about the 1v1 tournament, because I know that was a highlight for a lot of people that went. Kind of how did that come about, and how are you guys planning to implement it in the coming one?
Yeah, in the upcoming. First of all, the first event, we had like the idea of like going another direction with a tournament, because most of the times like video based, and who gets the most creative new moves, which you can do the crazy stuff, right. And we want to go like in a whole another direction, because Card speaks way more than just creating new moves, in my opinion, in our opinion. It's like what you feel comfortable with, freestyling around and having fun with cards, just shuffling and feeling comfortable what you're doing. And everybody's doing Card Street another way. So we decided, okay, let's host a competition where everybody can show what he's comfortable with, what he thinks impresses the audience the most. That was our first idea. And in my opinion, this came out pretty good at the first event.
Yeah.
Worked pretty fine. It was like a little bit hectic because we had like all people standing around and okay, you come over here. We had no mics at all. So we had to like scream.
I was screaming.
We had a timer on the handy smartphone to stop the time because everybody got like 20 seconds for the first run.
Yeah.
And then we had like three guys sitting on the couch, like the jury, the judge's couch.
Right.
And they were like, okay, everybody like was pointing one direction, which way... where they thought who should win from them. So,
so we're voting, right? Yeah. So we had like two people coming up. They came up. Like, we had Mattis on his phone.
Yeah.
We had like a little table. You know, hey, I had like some website where you put in a bunch of names and then they make up a tournament table, like a chart. And then I was screaming like the one name and the other name, they came up. I was just screaming through my mask. There's one thing. Like from COVID regulations, we were like the speaker was allowed to take off the mask, right? And speak. I didn't remember that. So I was screaming like after the first five rounds, I was already kind of sore in the throat, screaming. And then we had at the end, we didn't think that we had to vote. Even the judges, we only organized it on that day.
Yeah.
We just asked our buddy Till Grassi, he was a great, he was also a sponsor. He has his own little brand where he did
Angus playing cards
from Hourglass. Yeah. Pretty cool guy. And we asked him, hey, do you want to be, because he's also kind of known in Germany at least. And also abroad, because he goes, he's a regular attendee for CouchCon. He's a great friend. And we asked him, do you want to be a judge? And we kind of came up with three people who are judges. And then they were like voting. I was, all right, now vote. And they were like pointing that direction or that direction. And it was all over the place. And it took way longer than I thought initially.
Yeah.
So we kind of did a break in between so it wouldn't be too long. But also that was in the end,
We learned a lot from that. So we at this event we want to get way more structured,
right?
Because we don't know how many people want to compete, we decided that we want to host this year like a small online qualification round where everybody has like should send in a video around about 30 seconds, maximum 30 seconds, where he can do everything he wants, but with the topic. Let the world experience Cardistry.
Right.
So everybody experiences like another Cardistry experience.
Right. Yeah. Everybody makes their own Cardistry experience. Yeah. Obviously. Yeah.
So we want to see what people make out of this topic. And then we can decide how many people can get inside the competition and. Yeah, we're going doing this way more structured with mics and hopefully, let's see. We don't know how it's going to work with the technique side. Maybe we get a camera on at the stage, but we will see that. We don't know yet.
Exactly, because that's his part.
Yeah.
He's taking care of the technical technical parts of that. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, and then what I like about that kind of tournament or competition that you guys are doing is one that it is in person, which is something that's not super common besides maybe skate. I know some people, a lot of people play skate in the past, but it's it kind of focuses on a different aspect of cardistry where it's mastery. And instead of just showing, like, a lot of people will make a move for a video and then they might not be able to do it consistently. I'd say that's a lot of the time that's what people do for videos. But this, it's like stuff you have to have perfected. So it kind of focuses on a different aspect of cardistry, which is really cool.
Yeah,
it almost reminds me of kind of 1v1 raps almost.
It's like freestyle.
Yeah, freestyle.
One guy, Felix, who did like a little like Legend. Kind of dance move performance. He got like this robot-ish dance moves, and he completely blew my mind. He had like, he did isolations and synced the isolations with his body and his head. It was like super crazy.
Yeah, he had this. It was this one move. I don't know anything about like that type of dance. But he had this one move where, I think it's also a small clip in a whoever like recap video that's like 3.5 minutes on our Instagram. And I think it's in there but pretty short. But he has this like does an isolation, and he has his head isolated and like kind of moving his shoulders around it. I can't do it at all. But it was such a moment because we didn't expect. Obviously, we thought, okay, let's do it freestyle because that's the only way we can do it in person. And we even were mind blown by some of the ideas people had.
Yeah.
Right. So that it's not even like you pointed that out. It's on one time for the cardistry part, it's mastery. You have to really know your stuff, because if you drop the cards, of course, it's like you lose a lot of time. Right. But it's also nice because it's not entirely skill based. Right. Somebody who has as it happened in the end, people who would say of themselves, oh, I'm not that much of a good cardist. It came way further in the competition than they initially had thought, probably.
Yeah.
And because they just had great ideas in the moment, right? And so,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's something we just want to try to expand upon in this next competition.
Yeah.
Yeah. And ever since that first event, you guys had the 1v1 tourney, you had the event kind of pull off. You guys now are preparing for your second event here coming in June. And there's been a lot more reaction from the community, I would say. You guys are having a lot of headliners all over Cardistry Touch, a lot of really important people or popular people in the community.
Right.
What has it been like getting those people involved, and how have things kind of been preparing for this coming one?
Right, it's been a ride. It's been a crazy experience, man, because like one statistic, I guess, that always blew my mind kind of is that the event is happening in 62 days, I think it is, starts on June 4th. And on that day, when June 4th, 2022 comes around, we only know each other barely 1 year.
Not even exactly,
less than 365 days. So it's going to be the second event without even us knowing each other for that long, right? So that's kind of, it's kind of crazy how fast everything is moving, because in the, as we said right in the beginning, it was such a, like, we had the ideas, right, and had the motivation, of course, to in the end pull it off, but there were so many rocks in the way, and we kind of managed to like move some out of the way, but a lot of time it was just like kind of digging under it and getting around. And when we first were reaching out to people to headline the event or to sponsor the event, I was actually like the conservative one in the team. I was always saying, let's go low-key, right? Let's reach out to brands who realistically are willing to sponsor a smaller event, so we don't get a no, right? So my thoughts were if we go to a big brand and hit them up and say, hey, do you want to sponsor this cool event? And they look at it like, that's kind of weird, I don't know. No, let's don't do that, right? That they have that mindset, that thought in their mind, and they were not even going, like, in the future, we had just, like, burned that bridge, right? I was thinking very negatively about that. I was like scared that people were looking at it, and I'm like, no, let's not do that. And in the end, we had such a great experience with all the sponsors we have on board now, and we are more than happy to have, as you said, very popular figures to attend, right? To support us more than we had ever thought possible, like only a few months ago.
I still remember this one moment where I was like in a video call with Mattis, and right at the one, there was like in the middle of the talk, we were like just talking about the event and general stuff, there came this one email from Dealer's Grip.
Mm.
And he was like reading the mail to me, it was like, no fucking way. My mind was blown at the moment. I was like sitting there like for probably 2 minutes with my chin dropped, and I was like, couldn't get it together. So they really say, yeah, why not?
Right. So obviously talking to people is, I guess you know better than most people, because you've done this podcast for quite some time now, Caleb, right? To set up like a date where everybody has time must be a real pain, but even like any type of negotiation, right? Where you have a back and forth, where you're chatting either through Instagram or then moving that, for example, we had some people were talking on Instagram, we're trying to migrate it over to email and kind of having it either the one way or the other. And it was so, again, such a messy process of putting it all together, but, focusing on the reactions, I am at least very, very positively surprised how welcoming everybody is.
Yeah.
From the everyday carders, right? People with more with applications from what was the number? I think 9 countries now.
11.
Crazy. That's great. I can't even keep up with it. So we have people from all over, like even European countries where I've never been to, right? We have people coming over, and it's so cool to see that how the people are willing. One moment for me was when people started pushing like comments on our posts, right? Yeah, it's gonna be great, guys. Let's go, right? And we knew everybody, but suddenly there were people popping up I had never talked to, and
I've never seen.
Exactly.
I didn't even know.
They've commented on our post, and then there was this one moment where someone like tagged another person, right? Like, hey, let's go. Like they weren't talking to us in that Instagram, but about us. And I was like, man, that's cool. Like they are just like sending it over to other people and like, hey, you want to go? And they were like, yeah, sure, let's do it. And I was like, please. Just strangers who are considering coming to the event. So from those people willing to consider to come to the event, and even like booking transportation and taking vacation for that, and
up, some of the people at this event are taking like really long,
right? Yeah, right. There's some cool people coming, and all the way up to the big names, right? People I have when I was, I think I must have been 15 when I was at CardistryCon Berlin. And at that time, I didn't dare talk to them, right? Because I was such a self-conscious, introverted, small kid at the time. And seeing these people like coming up and shaking and getting an autograph, and now being able to talk to them through mail and having them and be a part of this upcoming event is an amazing.
Then being a part of our dream, like
right, yeah, right. So yeah, very very positive. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, I think it's really cool to see how much you guys have grown just from the first event to the second event, how many people are showing up that I'm huge fans of. It's like, it's really exciting to see other events besides CardistryCon happening and them being successful. Yeah. Coming back to something you were speaking about earlier with the just like dreaming too small almost, or like not asking those big names. Something I've learned from the podcast too is like, the worst people can say is no. And once you get over that kind of that fear, right, like it does, like you're not afraid to ask anybody, because there's just no like drawback.
They are also just people like you and me. They're not like special. They're not, they're like we,
right,
they're like
right.
A normal person.
Right.
Even though they got a huge amount of followers and like got their own brand, got their, I know, probably got their shit together, I don't know.
Have life figured out, right? I guess. Hope everybody does. It's a good point, Caleb, actually, because I remember that I think the first time I'm trying to remember which was the episode that I joined your podcast, which was the first time I've listened to Cardistry Talk. I mean, I can't quite remember it, but because it was one of the first DMs we've ever sent from our account was when we had the first event, was to reach out. We were like, man, that podcast would be cool if we could talk to Caleb about this, right? And then it didn't happen at that time, and so I'm so happy to have the chance now to make it happen now. But that was, it's also one of the things, right? You have these, everybody has every person, if you're only like a person, you some post a video of you doing Cardistry and it gets featured somewhere, it gets some likes or some replays or some shares or whatever, you doing the podcast thing where you're pretty much right, the only person doing it as consistently as you are, or if it's an event or whatever it is, everybody gets like a bit of exposure, and sometimes it's you don't even realize how many people are watching sometimes, right? Like for example me, like I'm a dude, right? I'm a person, right? And I've been a regular listener of your podcast for quite some time now. That's, I think, been an incredible experience now to kind of gather up all these all these impressions from other people, and seeing that people, there are actually people out there who care, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
I appreciate that a lot for sure. It's always weird to me, like hearing other people have listened, you know, because like in the grand scheme of things, I don't get a lot of views or a lot of plays, I would say, But yeah. I think the one thing I always forget too is people tend to focus on certain things or certain people.
Right.
But yeah, it's always super exciting to hear like people have gained something from what I'm doing. And I'm sure with what you guys are doing, you're going to have a lot of people, I think, in the future are going to be making events in their countries based off what you guys have been doing.
Just as you said, a small group of cardists, which they knew each other from Discord, like probably a few years now. And they met each other in person the first time at our first event.
Mm.
And they are like, I think next week, and they're hosting like their first jam.
Yeah, in Cologne.
In Cologne, yeah, cool. Where they meet again. So they're like, their bond, they like, they got like in, their friendship got like to a whole nother level to this event, through our event, which is like, still for me, like, still mind-blowing.
Yeah, it was they were like a small, also quite young cardists, actually. Yeah. So it was crazy because it was so relatable for,
like
obviously for us, but especially for me and Mattis, because we didn't know before.
Yeah.
Like you've met people as well on jams, but Mattis and I met when, I think Mattis was 14 at the time when I came to know him. So we've known each other for quite some time. And it was so relatable because we had this, we put the tickets online, and then there was this moment where suddenly we had Instagram stories, right? From people I've never heard about. I was like, well, they're coming to the event. That's cool. I don't know who that is. I'm excited to meet that person, right? And there was suddenly there were people posting, resharing this photo of a Discord where six people were in there. I think, let's remember the names. Let's get some shout-outs. There's Martin, Jesper,
Mati,
Sasha, Mark, definitely.
Yeah, Mark.
Some like great people. And they had known each other, right? The first time I went to Cardistry, I didn't know anybody except the people I've met on Reddit back in the day when the Verts, when they were still a thing, right? We kind of had this moment where they had a pause and said, okay, now put your country and your city into the comments. and I put that in, and then there were some people, Hamburg, and then somebody liked my comment and like replied to me and said, hey, come over to Reddit. And then I came over to Reddit, and on Reddit he had like a... some kind of weird vulgar username, and I was like, who the fuck is that guy, right? And he kind of then put me in a WhatsApp group, and I was like a young kid, and I was like, who's that guy? And then sometime I met him on a jam, and it was so relatable for me to see these kids having known each other over the internet, over internet chat for a while, and then deciding all together without having met each other at all in real life, hey, let's all go to this event in Hamburg and get a room together, right? As like minors, and get like the note from our parents that let's go there and like make a thing out of that. So, and that's definitely one of my favorite anecdotes when thinking to that, and kind of, yeah, realizing how talking about big brands, right? Big names, obviously Dan and Dave as the guys who've initiated Cardistry.com, right? Which has impacted me, and I'm sure like they definitely, if not through Cardistry.com, then through any of the many things they have done, have influenced all of cardistry, right? So many people are now realizing that even small things in the grand scheme of things, like this event or like a podcast, like right, consistency is key in the end. If you just keep going, then it's going to reach more and more people, and more people are going to tune in and listen and come over and come by, and it's just going to grow. And it's, I think every project in that way, be it a podcast, be it an event, be it like anything that's like organized and planned out, and where someone puts effort in. And that is one thing that I'm kind of upset with a lot of brands in the scheme right now, that I feel like many people could put in more effort than they do. Like it's a lot of, we have a lot of people pushing out products, to say it as it is, right? Mm-hmm. Products after products. And I feel like it would be great, like, to get some change in the regard of, kind of experience, focusing back on the people, right? On the experience.
On the community.
Right, of the experience of cardistry, right? And everything. And so, right, I think it's a great thing. And it's always nice to hear, to kind of think back to those moments, because I draw so much energy out of that. And I hope that you remember this conversation, Caleb, on days where you don't feel like getting up and doing the podcast, because it's such a great benefit for this community, for real, man.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate that. And kind of drawing from what you're saying there, I know when I've had Shano in the past, and I know Shano have said this many times, is that meeting people online, friends in person, is like one of the best experiences. Yes, like that's one of his favorite experiences and like something he really loves. So, you know, seeing you guys being able to give people that experience is really cool. And being able to experience yourself is also really cool. And what I think makes these events so important. And I always think of soccer. I always relate everything back to soccer because that's the other community I've been in the longest. Mm-hmm. But like for soccer, there's events, there's games, there's stuff you can go to constantly to meet people in person. But for Cardistry, it's not really like that, unfortunately, just because of the size of it right now. But the more that we have stuff like this, the better, I think.
Agreed, definitely. It's all, that's one part, to just to mention that on the side, we also encourage people to, I guess, do their own thing. One thing I've always been, I used to, like, shout out to Jasper's deck, right? I used to always love that. When I was younger, especially, I always watched his vlogs.
Yeah, same.
Right? Because he was
a huge fan of his vlogs.
Yeah, they had this thing where he had this brand, and they were doing things and meeting people, right? And he just did vlogs. And I was like, cool, that's kind of how it is to have a brand, right? He was taking you and trying out different things, and there's one guy also who, his name started with a B, who did YouTube for a while. I'm not sure if he's still doing it, but I looked it up because I really loved that guy's videos, and I always love when people like try to get out of the mold of getting followers, right, to the point where you're able to produce your own product and then push it out, do a Kickstarter or whatever, and then that's kind of it, right? I always like to see where the boundaries to really expand the community kind of, and that is kind of the thing that we always come back to and try to focus on just bringing people together and doing the best we can to
that's all we want with the event, bring people together, bring the community closer together. And it was never about the money. It's still not about the money.
I wish it was.
At the beginning, we said that was still our thing. Like, we don't want to like gain money through that or getting rich through that. It's just
not that we could.
Yeah, not that we could.
Right.
But it's like, we just want to bring people together and get them this experience of meeting new people, making new friends, which probably like live in a whole other country.
Right.
And
yeah, and also to like put a check on that, to empower. I have actually a small, I have this branding, not to plug anything, right? But it's this name because we get questions for that. Why is the URL, the website, hertz.berlin/cardistry experience? Which is because Hertz Berlin is the name of a small thing I do, which is mostly fashion. But I also experimented with a podcast format. I did like 20 episodes of like all kinds of ideas in German, and we did a recap episode for the podcast actually, where we talked about every, like all the finances, like exactly, right? Where I had my notes and we were going through how much money did we make, how much money went to that person, how much money went there, how much did that cost? Because of course we got people asking, like, how did you do that? How could I do that? Right? With people getting inspired, and as we would love to see more people just doing their own thing. If it is an event, or if only they ask, right? We have this, we've done these decks, right? For our reveal video for XP, which of course you printed with make playing cards, which are actually, I think they're getting kind of a bad rep because the quality of these is actually amazing. For
they got way better.
They increased their game a lot. So that's the big shout out to those guys for real. And people like just people come into the event and they ask. Because NPC is such a known name now in this scheme, right? But some people don't know that. They ask, hey, how did you make those decks? And we can give that intel, give that information. And there's a new idea building in some kid's head, right? You don't know what if that grows into the next big brand or the next big project or whatever in a few years' time. So we are all for spreading everything we learn, because we learned a lot. And as we said, just coming back to that and over again, we could have so easily fail at so many steps during the way and still can, right? So we're happiest to make it as far as we can and then just push that info back into the community so that we can hopefully see more creative projects in the future instead of just the next copy paste like branding.
And I think most of the times when, as soon as it goes towards money, nobody's like, oh, I don't want to talk about it. Money's like, oh,
right, yeah, stick, it's always off the table.
Off the table, nobody wants to talk about it. I don't get the point why. Right. It's like, that's what's the most, like, such a big question mark.
It's such a German thing to do that, yeah. Actually, right?
Yeah, so we decided to just talk about it so everybody can learn from that.
And okay. if the time comes on where we actually make money with that, then I'm happy to say yeah. that too, right? We are, like, that would be cool. I would be like, man, guys, we can kind of, like, I always said the moment we have, like, some excess amount, right, when we're like, oh, we made that, we're going to take that and go, like, play laser tag or something, right, with all the people who are helping out. Because, of course, we, like, Mattis, Jonas, and I are the people putting the most time in. And outside of that, we are fortunately now at the point where we can, like, if somebody comes by and takes some photos, we can at least give them like an amount so they have, like, not at all a salary, right? Because it's way too less money for that, but at least yeah. if they have something of that to show, like, appreciation. We are not at that point where we can take something, right? We'll let you know how it goes after the event. But to have this idea of, yeah, of celebrating the steps along the way, letting everybody know how this goes and how the process is and how long sometimes it can take, and yeah, how everything we learn, we're happy yeah. to share and let everybody know so everybody can learn from our mistakes and do their own thing.
Yeah. That.
So at the end of the show, I do what I call roll out the close-up pad. That's just my fancy way of saying, is there anything you guys would like to promote or any last nugget you would like to leave the audience with before we kind of head out?
Right. Cool.
Yeah, just my opinion, just go out, try stuff, and learn from that. Even if it's not working out, you get, like, a big learning out of it. And that's, like, in my opinion, way more worth than the money behind that. It's like, what you learn through doing stuff is, like, way, way more worth it. Even if stuff's not working out, okay. So,
right.
What have I learned? What can I take from that, from that mistake I made? And how can I improve myself doing what I did? How can I improve it through that? That's what I've learned through this, doing these events. Right. What's working, what's not working.
Every mistake's a lesson learned. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Like always, I'll have links in the descriptions to these guys' accounts and the Carstree experience. So feel free to check those out in your free time. Nick and Jonas, thank you for being on the show again and taking your time. I hope everybody learned something, hopefully had a little bit of fun and got to a little bit more about the event and how you guys think. So it's been a pleasure, and we'll head out now.
Thanks, Caleb. It's been great fun.
Thank you.